Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Rotten Tomatoes is Wrong. I am your host, Mark Ellis, joined, as always, by the incredible, the wonderful, the tea leaf dropping. You spill the tea, and then you drop tea leaves. She's giving me a lot of hints about stuff I haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
And I'm Jacqueline Coley knows how she's torturing me, particularly this time of year, with the certain films that come out around this season.
Yeah, and normally they're like awards ones, but yeah, I dropped a little knowledge on this one. Around horror, which I was just going to say to Mark, I've had a lot more horror movies. I know I'm looking very Texas Chainsaw Massacre today, but...
You look like you're about to go bobbing for apples.
You know what I mean? Like, it's been more... There was a time that I avoid horror movies.
There was
a time, and this, the movie that we have today was this time. I was very much realizing, I was like, oh, why was this, like, so not a part... I was like, oh, you didn't do this back then. And movies like this is the reason why.
Yeah. Well, back in 2009 when this film came out, our guest was but a zygote, I believe. He is just... This guy not only can tell you the chronology of Saw and the franchise in its entirety while he's drunk, there's a YouTube video proving that. He also has a great horror maze that he's putting on in New York City here in a couple weeks. And this weekend, you can find him on the Wanger Show Karaoke. I believe it's their fourth edition.
Oh, yeah.
And you know him as the host of Pretty Much It. He is our good buddy. First time in studio for Eric Striffler.
Yeah. So excited to be here. I've been on a couple times, or at least once for sure, on Zoom. So it's very nice to actually be here.
Well,
thanks for having me.
You were the kid, the adorable young pup who just loves The Mummy with Brendan Fraser.
That's right. That's what it was.
You wore your mummy shirt, I believe.
Yep, that's right.
Do you know how
I didn't have anything for Saw, unfortunately.
Do you know how many bisexual girls you took that one off the chart for? Like, seriously, you should very much honor the fact that there's an entire cohort of these that are mad that you got to do that episode. Like, seriously.
There's a lot of people that wanted to talk The Mummy.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
You were the crown jewel.
You were the crown. Like, you should own it and lord it over them.
I'll take it. Now, I will.
I'm not going to say there was quite as much demand for guests clamoring to talk about Saw 6.
Saw 6 specifically.
And I'd like to just recount a little bit of the text message chain that went on between Eric and our producer, Brian Perez.
Wait. I'm sorry. Before Mark does his announcer bit, let me give you all a little background. We have the actual, like, screenshot of the text message. This is very...
If you're watching the simulcast, here it is.
This is very meme-worthy. Like, we could put this on the YouTube. I hope y'all do. All right,
and
Mark,
this is
take
how,
it away.
If you know Eric, which we all do and love, this is how you take advantage of him. Because his mind works faster than the normal human brain was meant to do. And so you can just tee him up with a little question, and then he'll just send you pages and pages of real, just thoughts, stream of consciousness. Mm-hmm. So Brian, an innocent text, producer
out of nowhere, by the way. He just texted me this out of nowhere.
Do you want me to give you your dings? Ding. Here we go. Ding.
Hey, buddy, question. What's the most underrated movie in the Saw franchise?
Ding.
Ooh, great question. dot. My first thought is 6, but that's a fan favorite, so I don't know if it's technically underrated.
Ding.
3 is also a fan favorite, maybe generally underrated in the sense that most folks are probably like they should have stopped at 1.
Ding.
No, they should have stopped at 3.
Ding.
And TBH Spiral was better IMO than most give it credit for, even though Jigsaw isn't in it, LMAO.
Ding.
I'm going to go with 6. Final answer.
And here we are.
And that is how we arrived at 6.
Oh, my God. By the way, the reason why I was late on the dicks, it's not that I don't have rhythm. I was too busy laughing and trying not to ruin the take.
That was really good. It's like you and I practiced
it's almost like we have some on-air chemistry, man.
As you know, Jacqueline and I never practice anything. It's all live for you folks.
Off the dome.
Saw 6 is a movie that is 39% rotten, which I saw and I'm like, okay, Eric's going to come in here and fervently defend the movie. Come to realize it's actually the second highest rated Saw film by Tomato Meter.
Yeah.
Only the original Saw tops it, and that's still rotten at 50%. So before we get into Saw 6 and whether Rotten Tomatoes is wrong about that, I mean, look, you got 39% rotten, 47% audience score. These are good scores by Saw franchise, you know, numbers.
By sixth entry in any franchise, it's like, okay, sure.
What is it about Saw that, like, on the whole, is just all these films, and now we got the new one coming out. Why do critics not like these movies, Eric?
You know, I don't know. I think, first of all, horror, I feel like, is tough. It's very subjective. What scares you, what doesn't, right? Are these even horror movies technically? I guess. Like, it depends, again, what you find scary. If you find ghosts scary and that's it, then these are not horror movies to you, right? But also, yeah, they're gross. I feel like they were kind of like breaking the rules and making the new rules in a way, because it kind of launched a new category of movie unintentionally, you know, like with Hostel and stuff like that, things just getting more and more gritty.
The quote torture porn kind of thing.
Yeah, I didn't want to say it, but you can say it.
I feel like these movies toe the line very well.
The first Saw is not that at all. It's a psychological thriller.
Yeah. Right.
It's a Sundance film. It was like a movie, you know what I mean?
Go ahead.
But so point is, like, they started to devolve a little bit. And this one, I will say, elevated it as they were going, you know, kind of going down. And I'm a huge fan, so you know, everything I say with love. I love all the movies. But it was kind of going downhill, and this one brought it back up a bit, which I saw some of the reviews mentioned too.
Yeah, you know? And I get surprised by these kind of movies, Jacqueline, because I don't seek movies that are this graphic as far as like the violence and the blood and gut, like literal guts go. But every time I stumble across a Saw film, and I've seen a few, not all of them, but a few, I'm like, these are really cool. These are fun. They are definitely disgusting. They're bloody gross, but there's a lot to get into with the Saw movies, and I felt the same way about 6. So I'll kick us off here and say, yes, I think Rotten Tomatoes is wrong. I think this movie should be higher.
I do think this movie is better than it seems. This movie brought me back such memories. I just wanted to tag team on what you were saying about why critics didn't like it. The thing about the Saw franchise, and no, I did not watch all of these, but I did watch a YouTube video that gave me the beats of each one. A lot of yours.
Was it by Eric?
Yeah,
it
might have been me. A lot of yours. yours is part of the plethora, but I guess what I would notice is what was going on in movies at the time. And this movie came out, and then it kind of got wrapped up in the Final Destination sort of like big horror gore gag thing. Because what the Saw franchise has done is reflected the horror sentiments of other franchises at the time. And this was the one that was happening at the same time as Paranormal Activity. And because this one wasn't received as well, sort of in that, I would say, like, every time Saw did something well, somebody would come after it that would make that look a little bit more ridiculous. Like the psychological thriller, after you do Final Destination, it looks like it's low stakes. So now they got to up the stakes. And so now they do one that kind of returns to form, but it's like, well, now we have these people that are doing these more psychological gags in that one. And it's like they always felt behind the eight ball and what the audiences were wanting at the time.
It feels like superhero movies now.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're flying around. We got that.
Yeah.
We're done with that.
It becomes sort of an arms race where it's like, we just have to be like either bolder or scary or whatever else. It's funny you bring that up, Jacqueline, because Saw 6 actually opened against Paranormal Activity. Yeah. Like literally the same weekend. And that movie was such a juggernaut. And it did, because Saw 6 came out, I think the budget was $11 million. It ended up making $68 million worldwide, which is a huge
return on
profit.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
It wasn't the return on profit that Paranormal Activity was, because that was made for like $8 and made like $300 million worldwide.
They returned all the cameras.
Right,
and everything.
Literally buy a camcorder, and that's the budget for the first PA movie. So, Eric, I feel like you're going to be in agreement with Jacqueline and I. The Rotten Tomatoes is wrong about Saw 6, because that 39%, it just ain't high enough for me.
No.
I mean, it's wrong, especially if you just factor in like that Saw is at what, 50%, I think, something like that.
The
original
one is,
Saw.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
50%. Are you kidding me? Come on. It's an actual really good movie. And launched, you know, look at the franchise it launched. It's unbelievable. That counts for something. Absolutely. Obviously, there's something there, right?
Well,
if you didn't love the movie, like, the formula's there.
Okay, look, if you look at Saw and you just say, okay, let's take that 50% number, because most other first entries in these classic horror franchises are fresh.
Yeah.
Nightmare on Elm Street is in the 90s.
Halloween
is in the 90s.
Yep.
So if we take that 50 and we make it now all of a sudden you're saying the sixth film in this franchise only fell 11%. So this should be around the high 70s.
It should bring up all of them is my point. Yes, yes. Also, when did Rotten Tomatoes really like start? Because I wonder also.
Oh, well, we just had our 25th birthday. Yeah.
Because I was going to say, so it was kind of in the early days. Halloween, everyone has to go back to review it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And you have those nostalgia goggles maybe as well. I mean, I love Halloween.
I mean,
people were doing it at the moment.
There's still contemporary reviews that we get. I'm like, Tim Ryan, who we're going to talk to in just a moment, would be sad if I didn't, like, he would be like, Jacqueline, you didn't correct him.
No, that's fair. Yeah.
I know. But it's usually...
This is just a guess. I don't actually know.
Usually, it's about now, depending on how big the movie is, about 50%. But most of our old movies, people aren't reviewing them. Like, you know, when you get something big, like obviously Citizen Kane and some of these ones where you have hundreds of reviews, it's one thing. But most older movies, like, you'd be surprised how few reviews are out there that are contemporary and how few people go back and review it again.
That's kind of what I'm thinking, though, is that, like, this had more people maybe... having that in mind. You know what I mean?
Oh, I see.
You wouldn't, if you don't like Halloween, maybe you wouldn't even go back and review it. See what I'm saying? Whereas with this, it's like, oh, it's a new movie. I'm going to review it.
Jaws
That's what
the
I'm
Revenge
thinking.
Is still 0%. And it's because I haven't gotten around to review. I believe it's a dead zero.
Yeah.
I haven't reviewed it yet because it's getting a number. It's getting a real integer once Mark Ellis is done with it. Because that fourth entry in the Jaws for I keep pushing to have that movie on the pod. It's probably never going to happen. But I would love to talk about Mario Van Peebles in it, Michael Caine.
Oh, yeah. Michael Caine, doesn't he have that famous quote about it? Haven't seen the movie, but the house it bought is beautiful or something like that.
Yeah. Love me some
Apparently
Michael
it's
Caine.
Dreadful, something like that.
Yeah. We are going to turn it over to our buddy Tim Ryan in just a sec here. I do want to give some shout outs to the website, our great editorials that we have at RottenTomatoes.com. You can check out all the Saw movies ranked by Tomato Meter. So again, the OG is number one. Saw the Last Chapter is last at number 9 at, fittingly, 9%. So we'll see where Saw 10 fits in that lineage. And then we also have how to watch the Saw franchise chronologically. I believe our team did this stone cold sober, unlike the way Eric did it in his vid, but sober, drunk, however you want to figure out how to watch the Saw movies in order, because it is a little different than just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Let's go to Tim Ryan now, because Tim is our expert review curation manager here at Rotten Tomatoes, and he's going to tell us what the critics were saying at the time, way back when, on the dawn of Paranormal Activity and this new Saw film, how the critics were feeling about it. 2 minutes
with Tim. We covered the original Saw in a previous episode, but today we're doing Saw 6. So what did the critics have to say about that one? In a Rotten review, Rob Nelson of Variety called the film so frighteningly familiar it could well be called Saw It Already. However, in a fresh review, Wesley Morris of the Boston Globe wrote, "Who knew that the franchise's creators would eventually find a plot twist that made sense?" The Rotten Tomatoes critics' consensus reads, "It won't earn the franchise many new fans, but Saw 6 is a surprising step up for what has become an intricately grisly annual tradition." So that's the Saw franchise. Do you like the way brutality feels, Mark? Back to you.
I'm not saying
it was intimate.
Tim's got a future in Jigsaw if he wants it. Yeah. I mean, that was pretty good and menacing there, Tim. Thank you for that. We usually do a synopsis, and I think that today, Jacqueline, it's going to be fun to have our guest have to do the synopsis.
I was gonna say, dude.
How much time do I have?
So let's go ahead and transition into movie talk, and then we'll do the synopsis performed by Eric Striffler.
I actually prepared for this synopsis. I'm glad he's going to do it. But I prepared for this. I was literally getting ready. The only thing I will add is whatever you end up saying, I doubt you're going to add the one thing that I found to be the most important about all of it. And I just want to
About this movie?
About this movie. I know that you will not add this note, but I'm going to. So
just one specific moment comes to mind, but it can't possibly be.
No, it's not a moment.
Oh, okay, never mind.
It's not a moment.
Brian, hit the music. Let's find out.
Yeah. I'm like, I prepped.
Interesting.
Prepped for this.
Interesting.
Eric Striffler, okay. the role you were born to play.
I know.
Tell us what Saw 6 is about.
Okay, so I'm going to keep it to just what Saw 6 is about.
So you got this guy.
There is, well, because there is Detective Hoffman, Jill Tuck, all of them are like in the background doing the soap opera, which I think is a big reason why people love these movies. Every year you got a new episode of the soap opera. And I think soap opera has a negative connotation, but in this way, I mean it in a good way. Like it was fun to keep up with what was going on. So let's keep it to just this movie we have. I think it's William is the main character. And we're at this point in the franchise, they're basically just repeating Saw 3, where it's like one person going through and seeing other people in their traps and stuff, which I think like the only time it changed up again was maybe Spiral or something. But so he's going through, he works for an insurance company. He is in his overall trap, whatever, because he denies people insurance. And this got real political. None of the other movies were like that. And so I actually appreciate that, thought that was kind of cool. It had something to say. And I think one of the reviews might've said that as well. And he has to go through and, again, it gets muddy at this point, but like, are people in traps if they're not allowed to escape? Technically, you know what I mean? Like, you're supposed to be able to escape your trap, but he's going along and finding people that he has to basically decide who lives and dies. One of which is a guy that's in there because he smokes.
Right, right.
I mean, yeah. Jigsaw's getting a little petty at this point. I'll be the first to admit it.
But he's sort of forced into that conundrum that all the Saw movies love to do. And then there's a lot of like really interesting and unique, intricate torture devices along the way.
So he's going along the way while the whole soap opera is going on in the background, which is lovely. We can get into it if you dare. The William storyline is, he's going through and it's a bunch of employees from his insurance company. And Jigsaw's really upset with all of them. You know, just in general, like we can all understand the concept of like, you know, an insurance company and dealing with that. But specifically, he was denied insurance. Mm-hmm. And you find that out a little bit later on. I will say something that's interesting about this one is I think it's the first one where Jigsaw, you know, how usually it's the puppet you just hear the voice or you see the puppet on the TV. You see Jigsaw for this one because this was like his most personal game yet, technically.
Yeah.
Because it was him directly dealing with the guy who denied him insurance. So I thought that was really interesting. And that's another element that kind of elevated it. And at the end, are we spoiling this thing? Do we assume people have seen it?
Yeah.
I think we can go ahead and spoil it.
At the end, you have one of the better twists, in my opinion. Two things really going on. A family twist where you, the whole time, I just love about the Saw movies. Early on in the movie, the mother and son, they see William on the TV and say, we're here because of your father. And you think that that's her husband the whole time going through it. Turns out, no, it's a guy that the father is a guy that he denied insurance to. And those little intricate ways that they say the line Saw 2, you'll find him in a safe place and he's in the safe. Like there's so many sneaky little things. And that was one of the best, I think, in the franchise. Some of them you get it before they reveal it because you're like, all right, why did they say it so weird like that? This one was perfect. So that's a great twist. And then to get back into the soap opera, what I think is one of the best Saw endings of all time with the reverse bear trap being escaped by Hoffman.
Mm-hmm.
You get all that?
Yeah.
You got it?
I did.
And Jacqueline was going to add?
Yeah, what?
The beginning scene, the actress who won
Yes.
It was on a show that I watched, even though I didn't watch Saw, called Scream Queens on VH1.
Right.
It was a contest for her to be a part of it. And the sister won. And there was so much drama about the sister winning.
Sorry. On the show. So you actually watched it. So did you see the movie at the time or you just saw it and you were like, I remember her?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. That's
fantastic.
That was
literally it. I watched Scream Queens. Yeah. They did a lot of those, like, win the contest, be a part of it. Like, this was in the, you know, who wants to be a VJ? Like,
and social media was starting up as well.
Like, but it was
I remember being aware of that. And that was I think that the promotional campaign that was worked against Saw.
Yeah.
Because it was like, oh, that's where this franchise is now. Now we're just doing reality shows and you can win a part. Like, you know, back in my day, being a horror movie, like all that crap.
Yeah, so I
think that it kind of cheapened it. And she was actually
she's
really good in it, but they assumed she was be crappy in it because of everything that happened with it. And I was like, actually.
Yeah, she's
like,
great.
She's like, tell the folks at Sharknado.
I didn't marry those two pieces of knowledge at all until I saw our notes this morning. Because I'm watching the movie for the very first time last night and I experienced it and I'm like, oh no, that's a great opening sequence. I had no idea that it was like somebody won a contest to get in there. I'm like, these are really well-trained thespians that we're looking at here.
And she's got that great scene later when she's like, look at my arm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's excellent.
So we didn't see it in theaters, Eric. Did you see this in a theater?
Not only did I see it in theaters, I went every year because, you know, the thing, it was, if it's Halloween, it must be Saw.
There you go.
It was every yep. year, which another thing that was just so exciting.
Since the original, did you see that?
So the original, I did not see in theaters. I was a little too young, I guess.
Yeah,
I caught it at home.
You were four.
Caught it at home. Yeah, I caught it at home. But starting with the sequel, Saw 2, I saw the previous movie and the next one. They did a double feature every year.
Oh,
so
cool,
I would go
okay.
and rewatch the previous. So right. I saw Saw 5 before this one in theaters. And I would go with my friends. My dad would bring me because I was like, by this point, I would have been 2009, was it? So I'd have been 18. But for the first few years, I couldn't go. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I had to go
right.
with the parents, so my poor dad had to go and watch these
movies.
The
family bonding trip.
But it was so lovely of him. He drove me and my friends that Thursday night, whatever, at midnight kind of deal. That was back when it was still at midnight, actually. Remember, it used to be, you had to go at midnight?
Yeah,
now it's like
now
6
it's
o'clock.
Cheat. It's like...
I kind of miss midnight.
I miss, like, you had to be there at midnight on Thursday.
You got
to
put in
work.
You
want to see a movie before Friday. Now, it's just all these showtimes, 7
it
p.m.
It opens on Thursday.
Come on, you soft moviegoers.
But so, yes, I did see them all in theaters, and I...
I think they were trying to prevent child delinquency.
Fine.
No, well, it didn't work. It didn't work.
Yeah. Now these kids are getting into R-rated movies earlier.
Because they knew kids were the only people that were out that late. They're like, this is not good.
No. Kids and their dads, turns out. Cool band name, Kids and Their Dads.
Kids and Their Dads, I like it.
Maybe an album.
Or Confession.
How many of the Saw movies had you seen?
Not touching it.
Up to this point. Because I just basically got the first one, and then I was lucky enough to see the most recent entry that's coming out in this weekend, I think.
My heart is beating so loud in my chest, worrying about
I'm
you
not
accidentally
gonna,
saying something.
Not going to say anything. Okay. I know how... I didn't even text you after I saw it.
You
I knew
saw
what
the Saw movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't text me. You know what I had sent to me? A video of you saying you saw it from Christian.
Yeah, right. I'm not giving away my secrets.
Yeah, but
you know,
Christian,
somebody puts a camera
but
in my face.
But that's fitting that Christian... That's on brand.
Yeah, he was trying to scare me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Keeping me on edge.
No, I think I've seen... So I saw the one with Chris Rock. Because they sent
Spiral.
It to me.
Yeah.
Spiral. I saw the first one. I've now seen this one. There's another one. Which is the one with Cary Elwes when he comes back?
7.
Yeah, I've seen
this.
Oh,
cool.
The next one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
insane, but we can't even get into that.
I've seen this one and the next one. And the only reason why I watched the next one was because he was back and it was terrible. Is terrible.
Listen, we're here to talk about Saw 6.
We're here to talk about Saw 6. And I can say that the selling point of this franchise for me is, again, I'm not like a blood and guts guy necessarily, but I do enjoy inventive spins on horror. And I think that the torture devices, the traps are always so ingeniously planned. Like, I really get into, hey, how are you doing this? What's the mechanism going to be like?
How and do you get out? How would I get out?
The psychology of making those choices, of having this poor guy. I mean, I guess, you know, he did some bad things. He denied a lot of people coverage.
Yeah.
And now he has to, like, figure out which person he's going to keep alive, who he's going to execute. And it's just like, man, you talk about a torturous device. These things go physical and they go mental and emotional.
It is tough, though, because like I said before, you got the one guy that he smokes.
Yeah.
You deserve to die. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean,
what? It's a little bit rough. And then there also isn't it one where, like,
this was right in the time when
the
Surgeon General was like,
lies
we need
about
warnings
being
on
pregnant,
cigarettes.
In which case, I'm like,
that's,
shooter.
That's fine.
Like, you know, like.
But then isn't there also a young guy who, like, his crime in life is like being single or something? He's like, you have no friends. You're a loser. You deserve to die.
Again, this was the dawn.
He was picking between like the older woman who had less life ahead of her, but like a loving family, and the young guy who has all his life ahead of him, but is like a loser.
Yeah, you get
something.
Rid of the young guy.
I'm just saying the risk of a dude like that left alone. Grandma's not going to hurt anyone.
This was 2009, though.
Very
this was
true.
2009.
And
it's
that's
different
even
now.
More,
is
no,
that
no.
scarier?
No, in 2009.
Yeah, they just did
This guy had just gotten a keyboard and a YouTube account.
Yeah.
And he was just starting to troll people. That's what this guy did.
Or could they have murdered the next Bo Burnham? Because he got a keyboard, maybe a musical keyboard, and was about
Bo
to start
Burnham,
his internet career.
Like, Bo Burnham didn't come about that at 19.
No,
Bo Burnham
so.
Was like 8, privileged white in Connecticut, and that just continued.
We love Bo Burnham on this show. You're welcome. You're welcome anytime.
I do. No, he's admitted that, by the way. I'm not saying anything. This proves how much of a Bo Burnham fan. He talks about his very idyllic and privileged life.
Yeah,
and then he went and did comedy and realized, I'm awful. And then he got better.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
I'm thinking about this movie franchise as a whole, but also we can talk about this because, like, as you get further down in the lore, obviously the original Jigsaw, Tobin Bell, that character has passed away.
Yeah,
but
he died in two movies technically.
Right,
he dies in 3 and 4. If you remember 4 at all, basically he dies at the end of that one again.
He seems kind of like Kenny from South Park in these occasionally, where it's like we're just going to bring you back for this or for this or for this, like this recording
if
or this video.
Yeah.
But it there is enough there. There is enough of his sort of fingerprints in this movie, I think, to make it feel like he's a real genuine part of it,
right,
and not just showing up as like fan service kind of thing.
Especially with him being on the tapes, him visually instead of the puppet.
Yeah,
that adds a lot.
Yeah.
Instead of the puppet, fair.
It's nice to see him.
Can I also say too, as a Picket Fences fan, Costas.
Oh, good call.
Yeah. I will admit though, like he was like hot in the 90s. Like he was 90s dude hot. And this movie made me question things. I was like, aw.
Eddie Winslow, Darius McCrary shows up in
this. Now, that's the opposite. I was not checking for Eddie Winslow before.
I didn't know he was going to show up.
He looks good in this.
He was in One Night at McCool's.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did some stuff.
You know who also leveled up of the black older brother trope? From The Cosby Show, if we can dare speak his name. Malcolm Jamal Mourner.
Yep.
Him at 45, Morris Chestnut wishes.
There you go. Well, that's a stretch.
No. With that beard, no.
Okay, Morris Chestnut is like the high bar for
but
me.
He's been that the whole time. And so it's like now, like, whereas in like with like Malcolm has gone up.
This listening to this is a saw trap for some. Listening to Jack and I rate how hot these men
like,
from
like
the 80s and 90s.
That objectify every black man in Hollywood. Considering this show has 100 episodes and this is the first time we've gone here.
You know who else looks really good now? Jaleel White looks really good.
Yes. Yeah. I saw him on a weed commercial and I was like,
Urkel, finally home.
Guess what the weed is called?
No, wait.
Stefan
Urkel. Did I smoke
Urkel.
That?
No.
Oh,
wow.
Oh,
that would be better.
That'd be good.
That'd be good. Purple Urkel, kids.
Okay,
come on.
That's good.
Purple
that's good.
Urkel.
That's good.
I liked it. I
you
smoked that.
Stefan.
I said Stefan Urkel.
Did I smoke that?
I liked it.
Oh,
I smoked
my God.
That. Yeah.
You need to DM that to him.
Come on.
At least.
That's pretty good.
Did I smoke that? I bet he has.
Well,
it.
There's a lot of smoke and flashing lights and other things when you do these mazes, you know, that they have. And I know you're setting one
horror
up.
Horror nights, stuff like that.
So you can tell us about your haunted house that you set up in New York. But through the lens of, like, because I know Saw has had, like, those mazes at theme parks in the past.
Yeah.
Have you done those?
I think they have one at Six Flags this year.
How intense are they? Because I just did my first maze this year, and it was freaking Exorcist themed of all things.
Oh, there you go.
And you know how that movie just gets into my soul.
Oh, you did this for
I did that, RT, and I did, and there was a Stranger Things maze. And we did The Last of Us, and like walking through these mazes, and they're like filming me walking through it.
I can't wait to see that.
Every goddamn twist and turn, I'm shrieking. I'm not, and even the people who aren't supposed to be scary, because they have all these druid Jawa looking folks.
The security guards too kind of startle you
because they're not supposed to be seen, and they're just pointing. But all I see is this tiny little wizard pointing somewhere, and I'm like, that's even scarier than the other stuff I'm afraid of.
Okay. You are not getting the full experience because I've done that video. By the way, I appreciate that Rotten Tomatoes makes you do that video now, because I did that video 2 years. Gray did that video 1 year. They do it because they see the camera. Like, you're not getting the real Hollywood Horror Nights experience. You're getting the Hollywood Horror Nights with a 4K
deluxe
camera
deluxe
experience. So they're targeting you. Like,
I
that
know.
Yeah.
So,
it's,
yeah,
it's, like, when you go through, it's a little easier. Like, when you go through normally, so I just did it in Orlando Horror Nights with a couple friends. And yeah, we're just going through normally. And yeah, you see, like, you know, you see them up ahead sometimes, whatever. But so the important thing to me is just getting to be, like, inside of a movie.
Yeah.
Like, the scares are fun, mm-hmm. but for me, it's like it's being immersed in, like, a cinematic Stranger Things. I mean, like, you get to be in Stranger Things. I don't know how it was in Hollywood, but in Orlando, it was fantastic.
Well, no, I mean, because I go in there and my first thought is like, because I know the camera's going to be on me the whole time, it's like, all right, Mark, you know how to handle this. Just ham it up a little for the camera, make it a good vid.
You don't
that
need
went
to.
Out, did, that
me
went
too.
Out the
not
window.
Need to. No.
The first turn I took, I'm like, get me the hell out of here.
Yep.
Because the worst thing for them is for you to go through that and not look scared.
Like, yeah, right.
That is
right.
Actually, like, the kiss of death. So just so that doesn't turn out bad, they, like, go up for it.
Well, they got what they wanted.
I have the opposite. They have these necklaces that people that maybe have sensory issues or just don't like to be touched mm-hmm. can put on.
Right.
Which is actually even better because it's like you can be right up on somebody having whatever happens to you happen mm-hmm. to you, but they don't touch you. Oh, I love that. Yeah. I love being in the middle of a haunted house where you're not a part of the participant.
You're just hitting your little life call button. Like, hey, don't.
Like, they just, like, it's
you're
just,
not at the front of the group,
like,
or the end of the group.
The sign is
yeah.
just on you. Like, it's a little, like, a light up necklace, and it's, like, basically, like, they just don't
all
touch
right,
you.
I'm talking to production, because that was that option was not offered to me.
Well, because then it would, that's not the video.
have you done a Saw maze before, Jacqueline?
No, so when I did it, it was Purge movies. That was the other reason why I didn't want to do it. It was like the Purge time.
Yeah.
That they were doing a lot of those. This Blumhouse stuff.
But like with Saw, I imagine, like, are you in a trap? Because the other thing that I don't want to do, like the mazes are fine. You walk through them, you get the crap scared out of you for a couple minutes. I've never done an escape room. So there's a chance that I would love it. Like they even offered, when I was working in Vegas this past week, they had like this Saw escape room experience you could do. And unfortunately, it was like at night. Maybe fortunately for me, it was at night and I had shows, so I couldn't go do it. But it was pretty much
what
like
a shame.
Escape room themed by Saw stuff.
Oh yeah.
Is that right? Have you done those things? Is
I've
that
never
right up
done
your alley?
One of the Saw escape rooms. It is up my alley. I don't know what I'm waiting for. I gotta
feel
do
like
it.
If Jigsaw were to like just like take the three of us prisoner, Jacqueline and I would be like looking to Eric like, hey dude, how do we get out of it? Like,
well, I would be immediately analyzing all the words he said to find what did he say that was a little weird.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have a test for you. Okay.
Oh, here we go.
You're leaving a theater.
Mm-hmm.
There's one car in a parked garage. And it has the door open, and you're walking by. The door is open. What do you do as you're walking by?
Get kidnapped by a pig.
Are you?
That's the only thing that's going to happen.
I'm not looking. I'm immediately looking the opposite direction of the open door.
Me and you will be fine.
Yeah, okay. See, I'm getting kidnapped by the
you're
pig.
You're like, because if you are curious as to why that door is open, mm-hmm. you're not making it to the end of The Last of
right,
Us.
Right,
you
right.
know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
I don't need to be curious about that door. Sorry.
Well, right.
The good news is they don't make you escape usually, like in the haunted houses at Horror Nights and stuff like that. But you do go through rooms and see characters. So maybe you would see, I think her name was Simone, the Scream Queen's character.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, waving her arm around or something like that. They jump out at you with that. And it's so cool just to get to see that stuff. The puppet, you know, you hear the voice, you hear the music. We haven't even mentioned
people.
The amazing music.
Yeah.
It's very, very cool to be. I think it was actually maybe like 2009 or 2010 that I went to the first, it might have been the first Saw maze at Horror Nights in Orlando. Something like that, a long time ago. And it was just so cool to be in the world that I knew and loved so well.
Yeah, there's like winks and nods too that aren't necessarily meant to scare you. And what I appreciate
Easter
about
eggs.
Saw overall is that, and this would go all the way back to the first one, certainly this entry that we're talking about today, is that there is it's not parody, but there is like a satirical element to all. It's very dark satire. It's, you know, it does have like a little bit of a political message,
sure.
but it's never going to let any of that stuff get in the way. It's not going to let that stuff get on the train tracks with this caboose that is Chuglin that is there just to show us how inventive you can torture people and make them really question their decision making.
We're still going to kill people in a gruesome fashion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a slight spoonful
of also
conscious
kind of fun,
political thought.
Fun to see them get out of the traps too sometimes.
Yeah.
No matter what, it's interesting to see the trap work. the trap fail or the person succeed. You know what I mean? Like it's there's always something interesting that can be done with it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, how do you mix. Sell Saw people? How do you sell non-Saw people on this franchise? Have you given up Shrine?
You don't.
I was gonna say
you really
don't
know at
if
this
that's
point.
A good waste
because
of your
the
time.
Like the first movie, I could probably sell somebody on. But because I'm like, it's not like the rest of them. It is really not as brutal. It's more psychologically brutal. It's not as visually brutal. As it goes on, I mean, I have to admit, it is much more visually brutal. It just is. They latched onto the gore and the torture and the traps and stuff more than, I don't want to say more than, but yeah, maybe a little more than the psychological aspect.
Well,
it's
not even falling prey to. You know what you have to do when you're a horror filmmaker or a company and you're like, we're making multiple sequels to this thing. You every franchise has had to do this. The Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, Halloween. The kills have to be more inventive. Mm. There has to be more blood. There has to be more jump scare. Whatever the thing is that your franchise does well, you have to increase that with each subsequent chapter, even if chronologically they're not all stacking up in the right order.
And that becomes a problem, for sure, because then they want to have like a big, crazy trap that turns out to be like 10 years in the past. And it's like, wait, you did that? And then you like scaled down and then you went back up.
You
again.
Don't always have the same budget, you know, just as far as like an evil genius, you know, sometimes your years are lean. Sometimes the crypto market didn't play out in your favor. Sometimes the stock market. And now you're just like, basically we have a tricycle and that's spoken for because that's what the puppet rides out.
Well, and the tricycle. Yeah. It's a one-time purchase.
Yeah, that's a you can reuse
and
that.
And then you
thing.
Have it. Yeah,
I would
it's
reuse
an asset.
The
it's an asset.
My favorite trap in this movie was the I loved the wheel, the carousel.
Yeah, that's one of the
it
best.
It was
yeah.
so good, and it also was so different than anything that I had seen in any of the other Saw films. Because again, I had already seen Saw 10 by this point.
The shotgun carousel.
Good. What a great, like, I did, like, again, it's evil. It's diabolical, but I mean, tip of the cap.
But also,
tip,
I love that it's stare at it. Funny at the end with the guy, like, you look at me when
that's
you're
what
killing
I mean.
So big, clearly, like, intentionally huge going for it. Like, you know what I mean? But, like, to the point of it being funny. Like, it's kind of a funny scene, and you know that, like, that Kevin, the director, you know, he edited all the Saw movies up until moving into the director's chair for 6. So he probably, in his mind, I can only imagine he's like, look, we got to do some send-ups here and there, right? You know, like we got to have this guy go big. And it works so well. The guy at the end is great.
What do you do in that situation when you're pitted against a mom and she's got a family and she's like got a great rapport with this guy who's making the ultimate decision here? What do you say? Like, I'm watching this movie last night and I'm like, there's nothing I could say. I'm pretty good with words. There's nothing I can say that's going to save my life in that situation.
I mean, in truth, the girl that wanted to fake being pregnant was the best idea.
Yeah, it was
that was
a good
the best idea. That is the best idea.
And the other guy called her out.
Or the only other thing that I would say is
she's not pregnant.
Is a
I
lie.
I would have been that guy. I would have been the no, she's not.
Is a lie they can't check on. It's like, no, I live by myself, but I literally have my parents who I pay for their thing. They would literally be destitute and homeless, something like that. Like, you have to have somebody relying on you. That's the only way to get out of it. Yeah. But
or maybe say nothing almost. Maybe like the least annoying.
No, you're definitely dying.
You think? I almost feel like the least annoying maybe could also be good.
No, because then he just thinks, okay, you're not making this hard on me. I can shoot.
Yeah. Like, I'm 0 for 2. I'm dying in every situation
like,
you're presenting.
This is not... But no, I wanted to add this. The reason why you can't invite people into the Saw franchise is the same reason why you can't invite people to start listening to like Joe Rogan or UFC. They know too much about it.
Yeah, actually, that's kind of true.
And if you already have heard about it and you like it.
Oh, so they're going in with a notion one way or the other.
That's what I was saying. The first one, maybe. The first one, maybe.
That's the reason why. Like, it's like, that's why I was trying to say, it's like, it's not that I think that the Saw franchise is like bad. It's just, you've made your choice by now. Like, you can't, I don't think you could say it, unless it's like a Gen Z person who really has no idea this thing existed, which is a thing now.
Sure. That's, I think that the Saw movies ended up doing this really well. You know, we talk about how they have to amp up the blood and the guts and the scares and all that stuff. But, like, that actually makes the first Saw movie a great entry point as a tester.
Sure.
To be like, hey, it's a way to dip your toe, or in the case of the first Saw, your whole foot, into this pool and see if you like the temperature.
That's
because
fair.
If you don't like that movie,
it just gets crazier.
But then you're not, then you're not a Saw person.
No way.
But they still have to be, I think, a blank slate on the franchise for that to work. I still think that there's too much. It's become so like known and parodied, and like I didn't even remember where the franchise was now. I was like thinking about it, I was like, where did this start? Where has it been? Like just trying to like add it up. I just don't think people would go into it like, well, I don't know what this is. Let me have an open mind. They'd go into it like, is there any way this is not going to be as stupid as I thought it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
that's, yeah, no, you're right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other interesting thing is that on a kind of different level, but similar, everybody knows who Jigsaw is now. And that's the point of the first movie, is you don't know who he is.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you're watching it for the first time, you're not going to get that same pop that all of us got watching that ending for the first time.
It's a little
you'll
Friday
never,
the 13th.
Ever, yeah, yes. Jason.
Where
yes,
correct. You're there guessing you who's killing these kids in the first Friday the 13th.
Yes.
And then
I know,
the
it's
the guy with the hockey mask, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, it's a reverse in that regard.
Yeah.
It's a reverse of this problem, because you can get twisted watching Friday the 13th because you think it's...
You think it's Jason.
Yes, that's the only one.
But, so this is the reverse of that, but it is a problem. You might be like, eh, that movie wasn't as good, because you can't even imagine what it was like to see that for the first time unspoiled. It was shocking.
And so if it's going to be a real tester, I think it has to be a tester on, again, you just have to go to a blank
like
slate.
A child. It has to be a child. Yeah.
You know what? I referenced True Romance the other day to somebody who looked at me like I was crazy.
Like, what is that, like
a book? That I was like, it was in Euphoria. Like, I am not an elder
this is
millennial.
Cool, okay, it's
like,
cool.
Sydney Sweeney, what did you think she was dressing like? And I swear to God, they were like, that's what that's from?
Wow. Okay. True Romance was a movie. It felt like it was everywhere in the 90s. And people still talk about it. We all know what it is. But yeah, if you weren't maybe of that time, True Romance might be the movie. That might be the barometer of, like, if it's more popular than True Romance, like if it's Pulp Fiction, people know it. They've heard of it. If it's not at least as popular as True Romance, the Gen Zers, many of whom listen and are members of the Fresh Ketchup crew.
27-year-old, I might add. This was not a 22-year-old. 22-year-old, I'd be like, okay, that literally came
out
before you were
born. 27.
27?
Oh, that's odd. I was picturing like 22.
No, yeah. I would have felt a little bit sad, but still, I'm like, I know you watch Euphoria.
Yeah.
Mm.
And she was like, what is that from?
Yeah.
This is like, now I'm thinking it's like that meme where it's like, you know, if they blank, they're too young for you, bro. This is like, if they don't know who's on the floor in that bathroom, she's too young for you, bro.
Wow.
If they don't know, then they're too young.
Wow.
You're now old enough to see these movies by yourself, allegedly.
This is the first one I'll be allowed to see alone.
Oh, are you? And that's not age. That's actually just Eric's parents.
Yeah, they're very strict.
Because his
they
poor
let me
dad
watch the
see
movies,
too many.
Yeah. But with them.
They have to be able to hide your eyes in the
correct,
right spot.
Correct.
Where's your anticipation for this new, like, is this one of those things where every year, it's January, you're looking at like, okay, I'm seeing this movie in theaters, I'm seeing this opening day. It's a Saw movie every year for you?
Oh, I'm day one. I'm day zero, the Thursday right before it comes out, for any Saw movie. And you know what? It's kind of like, it's like M. Night Shyamalan for me, another person that I love, but has his hits and misses. Plenty of misses, right? But I will always be there day one to see what the next thing is, because I just love it all so much. And so it's, I think of him, I think of Saw as certain franchises or directors, whatever, where I'm like, you can't lose me. You just can't. Mm-hmm. Even if I walk out of the movie and I don't like it, I didn't care for Jigsaw, but I couldn't wait for Spiral. You know what I mean? Like, I'm ready for the next one no matter what. This one...
Same director.
I couldn't be more excited because, yes, Kevin's back, and he gave us Six, and he was the editor. He is maybe, you know, obviously James Wan and Leigh Whannell did the first three movies. James Wan directed the first one. Kevin Greuter, but again, you know, edited all of them.
Yeah.
Up until he went into the director's chair. His fingerprint, all the things that you think you love about it, like a lot of that is him.
Mm.
The editing, the style, all that stuff.
And
it's him.
Cool when you see somebody come up through the where it's like you edited this movie and then you did. And so
well earned, well deserved.
It's like a coaching tree in the NFL. It's like you were the offensive coordinator forever and you might be the genius behind this team's success. And now you get your chance to go out there and prove it, which I feel like after seeing Saw 6, Kevin Greuter did. And then
Saw X, you mean?
No.
Oh, Saw 6.
Both of them.
Okay.
I would say. Yeah. But I don't want to give anything away about the new movie.
Fair enough.
But on the subject of the new movie, we actually do have a quick clip. It's not going to give anything away.
Of the ending?
We do have a clip that is just spoiling. No, we have this for Eric.
Yeah.
And last thing, really quick, just one line. I host the Rotten Tomatoes podcast. It's called Rotten Tomatoes is Wrong. In the case of Saw 6, the tomato meter is very wrong. And our special guest is Eric Striff, where he interviewed you.
I
when
know
Saw
Eric.
6
yeah,
came
yeah,
out.
Yeah. That's awesome.
If you
awesome.
Could just to camera tell Eric,
oh, that's, funny.
That's his favorite Saw movie. So if you could just give Eric a little message about thanks for, you know, making Saw 6, you know, your favorite or something like that.
Hey, Eric Striffler, how are you? I remember you well, and I've always appreciated how supportive you are of Saw 6. So I hope you like this one.
All right.
Oh, I think I'm going to love it.
You got a shout out.
I love this guy. Yes, he is so sweet. He's wonderful. And you can tell that he's as big a fan as of the franchise as I am, as anybody else is. That's a huge fan.
He lit up more on your name than ours. So that says something right there. Rotten Tomatoes, he was questioning Eric. Yes.
After we cut cameras, he did say that you can stop with the handwritten letters, that he's no longer allowing those
Fine.
To be delivered.
Yeah. They do get returned to sender anyways.
So. I know.
I want to see if you can think of the traps before we close up shop here. Your five favorite Saw traps across the franchise. Can you rattle them off? Is it like you have them ranked?
Five might take a while.
Because we had Kevin rank his.
Kevin's? So maybe give you three since he's on the fly.
Just name some of your favorite traps, and I'm going to see if any of these sync up with what Kevin told us.
I think way up there is the key behind the eye trap. I'm going to save my number one I'll save it. But the key behind the eye. At the opening of Saw 2.
Yeah.
It's just
an
unbelievable way to open a sequel. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? That was like, oh, we're not done with this. We're here. We're ready. I feel like another one that drives people crazy because it's one where it's like, I know how you could have gotten out of that is also in Saw 2. Saw 2 had some of the best traps. The one where she puts her hand up into the razors to get the antidote out of the box.
Yeah.
But she put up both. Mm-hmm. And then you can't come back down if you just...
Yeah. Not thinking. Keep your head.
The needle pit from Saw 2. Again, so many in Saw 2 are huge. For me, I always have to go with, because I mentioned it before, you see it get escaped, you see it fail, and you see it succeed, the reverse bear trap from the very first movie.
Yeah.
It goes all the way through to Saw 7, which was at the time the final chapter, so it's all the way through. But in Saw 1, she gets out. In Saw 6... he gets out, not in the intended way, in the incredible finale. And then in Saw 7, of course, it goes off. So,
yeah. All right.
I got to go with that one just because you get everything from it. All the other traps, you move on. This one, we got to see it all different ways. It was awesome.
With that first Saw movie, that was one of Kevin's favorites, is just a Dr. Gordon basically having to make the decision.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. That movie centered around that one thing. I always forget that's considered a trap. Because the whole movie is the trap. As the movies go on, scenes of traps.
Traps.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, the whole movie's trap.
Them in the bathroom is a trap, but it's so grandiose that it's like, I always forget that is technically a trap.
It's more like a whole escape room.
He really liked those guys. He gave them a lot of little fun things to do.
Yeah, really. And the editing in that first one, like just watching the decision-making and the flashbacks and stuff, it's like, you can see why this guy would be a great choice to direct one of these movies.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then he had two from Saw 2. He had The Furnace and The Needle Pit.
Needle Pit, of course. Furnace is fun, but Needle Pit is a classic. Yeah.
And then we go back to Heat with one of my favorite traps from this new, or the one that I just saw for the first time, Saw 6.
The steam?
I love the steam.
Oh, yeah.
Because when I work
Everybody
out,
knows how that feels.
My gym has a steam room.
Yep.
And I haven't been in it since seeing this movie.
He doesn't want to say the name.
I don't
but it's
know.
Fancy.
It's a nice gym. And the steam room, I don't know if I'm going to be visiting for a little bit because
too much.
I love getting in on that steam, but I might take about a week off from the steam. And then obviously the carousel, too. So,
carousel,
a lot of great traps. Nice. You have any thoughts on any of the traps?
No, I will say, like, I would just die. Like at the beginning of this one when she's cutting off
her
hand.
Right there with you.
Like, I got the first twinges of, like, some mild arthritic pain, and I was literally like, chop it off.
If you give me something I really feel like I could hack through, like, I'm not going to torture myself for 3 minutes or whatever just for the sake of, like, giving an effort. If I think I can actually
get
through
this thing.
Like
the other guy did. He cut off little pieces.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's like, man, I can't wait for you to see the new one.
Yeah. Okay.
I am excited for the new one. In Kevin, we trust.
Yes.
I'm ready.
There you go. All right. So we are going to transition to our close outro here. And you do want to stay tuned because Eric has a very fun thing if you're in the New York area here in a couple weeks. Hit the music, Brian.
Is that where you live?
I live in a van. I think I might have mentioned that.
He literally lives in a van.
That's right.
But New York is home base. I'm from New York, so.
I do know that. Yeah. I do know that. Yes.
Yeah. Hey, kids, you want to go to a haunted house curated by a guy who lives in a van? Well, you can
do
that.
I don't have a mustache. It's fine, okay?
Man,
tell us about this haunted house thing you got going.
Yeah, so it's called Nyctophobia. We kind of changed the name a few years ago to Synthetic Presents Nyctophobia, but I think we're kind of going back to the original name. But it's Nyctophobia, which is the fear of the dark.
Mm-hmm.
And every year is a different show. Started doing it in 2010. My career in this field really started in 2004, so almost 20 years ago, where I started acting in these kind of things. Then I went on to creating my own scenes and then branching off and creating my own whole exhibit. And back then, more of a haunted house, now more of a theatrical, like immersive experience. It's not like people jumping out at you and stuff like that. So we always want to make that clear to people. It's not like chainsaws and clowns and stuff. It's more spooky and fun. I always say it's important to give fun because, like I was saying before, with the horror genre, you don't know what scares people. So we'll give you some scares, but we'll also make sure you have fun. Because okay. if you're not the type okay. to get scared, then right. we want to at least give you a good time.
Yeah.
So it's fun. It's spooky. It is scary. But yeah, not people jumping out and stuff like that. It's more like storyline, trying to like solve some clues and stuff. Yeah, it's really fun. October 13th, 14th, and 15th. We're doing one weekend only. We haven't done it since 2016 because I moved into my van.
Oh, really?
I moved okay. into my van and I was on the road and then there was COVID and now we're like, it's time to bring it back. So we're dipping our toes back into the water with one weekend only.
And you just so happened to have possibly Jacqueline and myself both in New York City that weekend.
Very interesting.
Right.
Very
right.
interesting. I have shows y'all can go to in New York October 12th and 13th. I'll be headlining at New York Comedy Club. You can get tickets at markellis.live. Thanks to everybody who came to see me in Vegas, by the way. Some new tour dates, including Boston next year, are going to be announced soon. Jacqueline, are we going to this thing in New York? Like, would you do so? You heard the pitch.
Yeah.
I think the pitch is really great. I am going to moderate a panel with a guy that knows a little bit about a horror, Mr. Jason Blum. He'll Ooh. Be there with the new Exorcist.
Bring him along. Bring him. Yeah. He'd love it.
I'm on their dollar, so I don't know exactly what they have planned.
Tell Mr. Blum he can get his tickets at synthetic.nyc.
He would go. I have no problem about him going, but I am not going to be the one to say. No, I mean, honestly, I think it might work out. It depends on like what I have going on, but just the fact that I'm there is crazy enough. So
is that the same weekend as Comic-Con then, I guess?
Yes.
Or, that's perfect.
So
I feel like
you're going to be...
That's a good crossover crowd.
I mean, now it seems like destiny.
Yeah.
It seems like fate.
I might have to put some promo up at the con. I have to like put some posters up or something.
But if you are going to be at Comic-Con, you should come to the Universal Exorcist panel and see me. Come say hi. Tell me that you like the podcast if you listen to it.
You see Jacqueline moderate. You can come get some giggles with me and then let Eric scare the crap out of you in a fun way.
In a fun way.
If you really want Eric to scare the crap out of you, that's going to be this coming weekend where he will once again be dusting off his legendary karaoke chops.
Which you can hear I have my full voice for sure right now. Yeah, I'm not a little raspy from my best friend's wedding this past weekend at all. Trying to recover. So that's
the thing. A little Tom Waits-ish.
Watch the show to find out if I did recover. That's the pitch.
Get some vocal rest. You'll be fine.
That's going to be
right now. Yeah, this is my vocal rest.
The Wanger Show, they do karaoke on an annual basis, I believe. Yep. Sometimes more karaoke opportunities crop up with those knuckleheads. You never know. One of which may or may not be producing the show right now. So good luck with that. And anything else you got going on? You want to recommend anything else for the kids out there that they should be watching around this time of year?
Oh, gosh. You know what? Around this time of year, I guess it's spooky time. I'll tell you what. So we were just talking about scary but fun. My favorite types of movies to watch around this time are Halloween movies, not necessarily horror movies. Doesn't need to be scary as long as it's got that Halloween vibe.
Okay.
And my number one for that is, and it's a little spooky, but it's like an R.L. Stein joint kind of deal. When Good Ghouls Go Bad.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it was on ABC Family back in the day. And again, if she doesn't know what ABC Family is, she's too young for you, bro. ABC Family.
Does she know what True Romance is? That's my cutoff.
Yeah. It was like a TV movie, and it's just got the perfect Halloween vibe, and it's fantastic. You know, like, so Hocus Pocus isn't scary, but it's Halloween.
Like The Worst
it's
Witch.
It's like that.
The Worst Witch and Return to Oz are my movies like that.
There was some made-for-TV joint
scary.
with like, Rue McClanahan in it and a bunch of goblins. I can't remember, but it was adorable. Nice spooky time kind of feel, you
know?
So
there you go. If you're looking for the Halloween vibe, because, you know, it's if it's Halloween, it must be Saw. But now it's if it's back to school, it must be Saw, really, because it's September, which they didn't capitalize on, by the way.
Slash Saw sale.
So now if it's Halloween, it must be When Good Ghouls Go Bad. Maybe I'll start that hashtag.
I'm getting into the not. I mean, I always like the horror and I'm never like a Halloween costume guy. I'm lighting a lot of pumpkin spice candles.
Really?
Casa de Ellis.
Caucasian.
Getting into it.
It makes me feel like football. That's what I. Is it because I'm white? Is that why I'm doing it?
A white person like in PSL.
Okay.
He's like at the doctor. Just give it to me straight. Is it because I'm white?
Is it because I'm... Oh, man.
Give it to me straight,
this whole time I thought I was evolving as an adult, and it's like, nope, you finally fell into the trap that all white people trapped. Do.
Like, let me guess. You liked that show in the 90s that had Ross and Rachel. Like, that's where it is. PSL.
I watched a lot of Friends
North
in Vegas.
Face jacket,
I watched a lot
Friends
of Friends.
Box set.
in Vegas because I was being a good boy and went back to my room after the show every night.
You should.
Jacqueline is going to be at New York Comedy. She might be in New York Comedy Club.
I'm going to do 5 minutes.
She's going to go to New York Comic Con and do some moderating. So check out all of her exploits on social media as well. For Eric Striffler, Jacqueline Coley, our whole team behind the scenes here, I am Mark Ells. Go to RottenTomatoes.com for all the latest and greatest in the world of movies, TV, everything in between. And next week, Jacqueline, big episode, a movie that I have never seen before.
I can't believe you haven't seen this movie before, but I really appreciate that we were bringing two black women to a movie that only brought one. It's The Craft, ladies and gentlemen.
A few pumpkin spice candles got lit.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And I think we're going to have a special guest. It's going to be awesome. This is going to be so great.
It's a fun time of year for all of us. Here at Rotten Tomatoes, to all of you out there listening, thanks to all the rate, review, all that good stuff, wherever you enjoy this podcast. Make us part of your week or bi-weekly or whenever you see a new episode crop up. We love hearing from you. You can write us. Rotten Tomatoes is Wrong is the name of the show. RT is Wrong at RottenTomatoes.com is the email address. And with that, we will say thank you. Good night. Good luck. And do you want to play a game? I'd like to play a game.
Yes. There will be reviews.
There will be reviews.
Oh, my gosh. We'll see y'all next week.